On this week's edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, we wrap up our month-long discourse on religious freedom by taking a comparative look at the separation of church and state.
Well, I think separation of the two is a good thing in the first place, and I think that right at the heart of the Christian gospel is the separation of authorities. There is spiritual authority and then there is state authority, and the two do not mix.
A thoughtful conversation on that subject will be first up today, followed by an investigative discussion about youth ministry.
When it comes to young adult ministry specifically, the problem that we've had in the Archdiocese is really that we haven't had any for such a long period of time. There was a study that was done by Father Mark Leondis who found that at least as of a few years ago, and it might even be less right now, something like less than 10% of the parishes in the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese have any kind of young adult ministry on the ground at the parish level. So we just have a tremendous vacuum that needs to be filled.
Two very different topics during today's program, and yet, are they really? The politics of the future will be shaped and decided by the youth of today, and what foundation will they use for those decisions? Again, welcome to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, a ministry that uses the Orthodox Christian faith and the timeless teachings of God's Word, the Bible, as our foundation for all conversations. We're on this radio station weekly and also on the web at myocn.net and on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. We'd love to get your feedback on our interviews. You can give that to us when you go to any of our social media outlets. Again, that's Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and of course on the web at myocn.net. We are also a nonprofit ministry, which means we are supported by the donations of people like yourself who believe in what we're doing and want to join with us. You can give online safely and securely at myocn.net. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Father Chris is the founder and current executive director of the Orthodox Christian Network and the president of Hellenic College, Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. And this is a transition time for Father Chris as he and his family relocate to Brookline, which means, for us, that the second conversation today will take place by phone from his new office. And our first interview is in the ministry studio.
We are taking the time this month to talk about religious freedom in America, and with the political tensions rising in the U.S. as relationships between church and state struggle, it's hard to tell where the harmony lies many times. We've invited a special person, Haralambos Ventis, professor of theology at Hellenic Open University of Patras and part-time translator in Athens, Greece, to speak with us today. Welcome, Haralambos.
Thank you for hosting me. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
You live in Athens, but you spent several years studying theology in the United States, specifically Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology in Boston and Boston University.
That's right.
What are your thoughts on separation of church and state, coming from a country where relationship between church and politics is different than we have here in the United States?
Right. Well, as you know, the church and the state are not separated here in Greece. This does not make the country a theocracy of sorts, but I think it's a very problematic union, and separation is inevitable and upcoming, and it has long been overdue.
How would you respond to people who don't want religion in politics? Because we constantly have this pulling and tugging here in America, even though, honestly, the United States of America was founded as a Christian nation. But you wouldn't know that today looking at it. How do we respond to people who just don't want religion any way, shape, or form in politics?
Well, I think separation of the two is a good thing in the first place, contrary to what one might first think. And it is, the separation is well within the range of the gospel. And I think that right at the heart of the Christian gospel is the separation of authorities. There is spiritual authority and then there is state authority. And the two do not mix. At least Jesus Christ seemed bent to keep the two apart when he injuncted us to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to give God what is God's. The thing is, as far as I understand it, you have many people today who are afraid of organized religion. Mm-hmm. They're not just mistrustful toward it, but really afraid. And these times present Christians with an opportunity to approach these people and make a new beginning, a fresh start with them. We can present the gospel to these people in terms that they can understand. You mentioned that America was founded as a Christian nation. I'm not very well versed in American history, though I do not question what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also true that America, the United States, has been a multicultural country from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's easy to come up with a full-fledged support of a union of church and state.
Understood. Yeah, we don't want a theocracy.
Right.
The democracy is good as long as you have, of course, statesmen running the democracy and not politicians running the democracy, because we know what that does to us. But and if we look at the scripture, you're correct, I believe so, that God did not impose himself upon us. He gave us the free will to choose. So therefore,
right,
we have to have that ability. We don't want to be forcing faith on anyone, but we have to,
right,
have the ability to offer that faith freely, right?
Of course, yes, yeah, yes. I wholeheartedly agree with that, mm-hmm, yes, absolutely. The thing is, like I said, in a democracy, everyone, every group of people, every faith, every ideology must have a voice and be able to be vocal about its concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So in every real democracy, Christians have their own voice and their own place in the ongoing public dialogue. I don't think anyone can curtail that.
All right, let's look at something else. I mean, can all religions function in relation to politics, do you think?
I don't think so, because religions are not all the same, and they are not. They have a very radically different content, and I'm very critical of people who throw in all religions in the blender and mix them up.
Mm.
Christianity is very different from both Islam, and I would say even from Judaism in certain crucial aspects. It's also very different from Buddhism and the Asian religions in general. I think that Christianity has an edge over other faiths in the sense that it is not intrinsically theocratic, as I said. And this, I believe, we can cash in as an advantage, which might be unique to Christianity. It is an advantage that may make the faith agreeable to thinking people who are well educated, but still kind of apprehensive of religion.
Mm-hmm.
If we show them that Christianity is not theocratic, and that it respects human rights, even as it wants to make its voice heard across the political spectrum.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned in the beginning, Haralabos, when we were talking about giving to Caesar what is Caesar's, does
right,
it show, do you think, let's go a little bit deeper on that, does that show that the words of the Lord, that church and politics should not mix?
I believe so, yes. Of course, that when we say that religion and politics should not mix, it doesn't mean that Christianity of the Christian churches must remain silent and unable to voice their concerns over what is happening around us.
Mm-hmm.
These are two very different things. Christians must remain vocal and must address issues. No one has the right to brush Christianity aside. Except that the key here is that we can address our concerns not by force, but by argument.
Mm-hmm.
This is the crucial thing. Many people are afraid that if religion dominates, then it will penalize what each religion considers to be sin, and then it would impose a social and moral blueprint upon everyone. Mm-hmm. But we have a very rich patristic tradition where argument as opposed to force won the day each time.
Let me ask you this, Haralambos. When should Orthodox Christians stand firm on topics, do you think?
Right, I can think of many issues, because indeed there are many things going on in Western societies right now. As a Christian, I would voice my objection, for example, to abortion, but instead of citing scripture to voice my objection, I would use arguments that non-Christians and non-religious people can understand. It is my understanding that abortion can be countered, not necessarily by religious arguments, but through what science has made available to us today. When I was in college, I had a self-avowed, totally atheist professor who still was very much against abortion, and that made me begin to think that he was using arguments that students could understand regardless of religious affiliation or faith.
Thank you very much, Faralibos, for being with us today. These are topics, of course, that we cannot cover completely in one specific interview, but we look forward to talking with you again soon.
It will be my pleasure. Thank you for hosting me again, and I wish you the best.
Well, I hope this conversation has given you some food for thought and a reason to discuss the topic further with us and with others. When you go to our website, you can either comment on the broadcast page or you can begin a discussion on our blog page called The Sounding. Both are accessed through our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Not all of our guests align with us in every aspect of their lives, nor do all of our listeners. That's one of the reasons we'd love to get your feedback. Again, go to myocn.net. And comment either on the broadcast page or our blog page, The Sounding. And now with our feature conversation, here again is Father Chris on the phone this time in his new office at Hellenic College Holy Cross School of Theology.
The Greek Orthodox Archdiocese Youth and Young Adult Ministries Office, or Y2AM, has a new director. You might know Steve Cristoforo as the popular YouTube star of Be the Bee, but his credentials, frankly, are far more impressive. He's a graduate of Yale University and Fordham University School of Law. Steve worked as a corporate attorney on Wall Street for 2 years before enrolling at Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology. And after graduation, he was hired to work in the Archdiocese Youth and Young Adult Ministries. And after 2 years, he's now their new director. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you very much, Father. It's a blessing to be with you.
You've been in ministry for several years, and you've seen it now in multiple angles. People often talk about youth ministry, but you actually see it differently. So share with us and with our listeners your understanding of ministry to the youth and young adults.
Yeah, I think this is, on the surface, it might be kind of a subtle point. We frequently talk about youth ministry and young adult ministry, and we talk about things in those lines. But what we've been trying to do is get people to realize that it's not so much youth ministry, it's ministry for or with youth. It's not so much young adult ministry, it's ministry for or with young adults. I feel like sometimes when we talk about youth ministry, we talk about it as a kind of particular thing that is somehow segregated or sealed off from the rest of the life of the church. I think we create kind of different trappings of youth ministry, that we make it about the music, or it's got to be sort of cool and hip, and you have to be kind of cool and hip in some sort of way to do youth ministry. But at the end of the day, it's all ministry. It's all incarnational. Everything that we do in the church is simply giving flesh to our theology, introducing people to Christ, inviting them to truly live in Christ. And we might do that in different ways depending on the age of the people that we're working with, but it's all ultimately ministry, and it's all ultimately Christ ministry. It's not these pieces that we sometimes divide things into. And it's a subtle point, I think, but sometimes the words that we use and the language that we choose affects the way that we approach problems and situations and affects the solutions that we come up with them. So we tend to think about it simply as ministry, as introducing people to Christ, making God visible in their lives, whether we're doing it with youth or young adults.
You know, when I was growing up, I remember basketball was the big thing, and now it seems that dance is a big thing, and that becomes the so-called youth ministry. And I've even heard people talk about, well, we use that as a hook to bring them into church. I believe what you're saying is something very different. You're talking about preaching Christ, crucified, resurrected, and giving them and showing them a new road to life. Is that what you're talking about, Steve?
I mean, I think that's ultimately what it is at the end of the day. At the end of the day, as St. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's the steps that we take to truly walk in Christ and with Christ. And, you know, that's done in a variety of different ways. That can be done with sports, with basketball, with dance, and so forth. That can be a piece of it, probably. You know, I think probably the best place that we see that is summer camp, where kids can be swimming in the pool and they can be having fun activities. And the thing that makes summer camp so wonderful and transformative is that everything that we do is done in Christ. That artificial divide between the sacred and the secular is really torn down. So as long as we're keeping that in mind, I mean, as long as the dance is a piece of a wider whole, and as long as the athletics are a piece of a wider whole, and as long as Christ is at the center of everything we do and is at the center of every word that we utter and every action, then we're introducing them to people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I keep hearing this Y2AM. Now, you have to explain to me and explain to everybody else out there who's listening, what is Y2AM? And you're the director, so what's your vision for this?
Sure. So this was, first of all, it's kind of a mouthful every time we talk about what we do, to talk about the Department of Youth and Young Adult Ministries. But we tried to streamline it a little bit. And we thought about the first letters of each word there, Youth and Young Adult Ministries, YYAM. And this is a little bit of my sort of nerd math humor coming out. Y times Y, Y squared. So Y2AM is just a sort of shorthand that we use to talk about our department. And the vision is, well, I mean, introducing people to Christ is kind of the grounding, the foundation of everything that we want to do. If we talk about sort of the work that we're planning on getting to, I think the best way to think about it is in terms of four different categories, four different needs that we see across the church and the archdiocese. I think the first thing is the need for resources, and we've already begun this sort of work because this has been achievable for us. We've done this with Be the Bee, which has been pretty successful. You know, it's introducing people to Christ, and it's teaching people about Christ in kind of a simple and an accessible way. So we're doing that, and we created a Be the Bee website on the Archdiocese website, which has some supplementary readings and study questions to allow families, to allow classrooms to explore some of these videos in a deeper way. We've been working on blogs, more specifically designed for a young adult audience. We've been working on a project actually with the school, with the Holy Cross School of Theology, called Exegenius, which is our goal is to annotate with the commentaries of the fathers, with sort of scriptural work, exegetical work, the Sunday Gospels, and eventually the Sunday Epistle readings to allow people to dig deeper into the scripture and into the sort of the calendar of the readings. And God willing, more to come. So that's resources, the things that people can use individually, the things that they can use in a parish setting. Another is events. We've been working on Be the Bee themed retreats. We did a full year of them during the last school year. We're going to be starting up again in August. And rather than them simply be youth retreats this time around, we're actually going to try to make them more parish-wide so that there will be components for youth, there will be components for parents, there will be components for youth workers, there will be components for young adults, to give all sorts of different groups across the parish to come together, to learn together, to pray together, to break bread together in fellowship, to really be a visual sign of what the church is. Not, like we said, youth ministry is this tiny little piece separated from the wider whole. Simply ministry that is going to then talk to people and teach people differently as is appropriate. And also something, hope God willing, that will unite parishes from a region together, and also something that will unite the different Orthodox jurisdictions together. So we're making it very clear that this is going to be open not simply to Greek Orthodox parishes, but to all the Orthodox parishes in a particular area.
Sure, that makes sense, of course.
So that's two. And then the third is standards. You know, we kind of need to have a clear vision of what is expected when it comes to youth and young adult ministry across the archdiocese. We already do this in the way that I talk about it, the negative side, with our youth protection policies. As a lot of the listeners might be aware, we have policies that kind of govern what is safe and acceptable conduct in the camp setting, in the retreat setting. That's kind of the negative side, what we can't do. But we need to really fill in the gaps on the positive side to say, what do we expect of our youth ministry efforts and our young adult ministry efforts? What do we expect of our ministers? What sort of training can we offer to them? What sort of certification can we offer to them? What sort of minimum set of standards so that parents are confident when they drop their kids off at a parish, they're going to be getting sound theology, they're going to be getting healthy, wholesome pastoral experience, they're going to be meeting Christ. And then the fourth point is integration. And what I mean by that is that sometimes we see sort of isolated pockets of ministry. You know, we see some really successful youth ministry happening in the camp setting. Maybe we see high school ministry happening at a parish, but not young adult college ministry. I think we need to work at making sure that all of these different programs, all of these efforts really fit together so that our camps and our parishes fit together, our youth ministry leads better into young adult ministry, to really create a seamless body of Christ so that it's not pockets of activity, but really a vibrant church life, that we're walking with people from the moment that they're born, from the moment that they're baptized, all the way through to their funerals, that we're really walking with people in their walk with Christ.
Sounds good. You know, statistics are showing that a majority of young adults are not returning to church after college. I'm sure you know that. And modern morality contradicts the church's teaching on many levels. We just saw that this past week, of course, with the decision at the Supreme Court level. How is Y2AM addressing ministry to young adults?
That's an important thing. And, you know, we're not so much worried about the state of the culture, and we're not so much worried about some of those things, because, you know, we need to keep our eyes on the resurrection, and we need to keep our eyes really on the joy of Christ. I think when it comes to young adult ministry specifically, the problem that we've had in the Archdiocese is really that we haven't had any for such a long period of time. There was a study that was done by Father Mark Leondis, who was the director two directors ago, who found that at least as of a few years ago, and it might even be less right now, something like less than 10% of the parishes in the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese have any kind of young adult ministry on the ground at the parish level. So we just have a tremendous vacuum that needs to be filled. So at a micro level, really what we need to do is we need to start inviting young adults back into church. We need to start providing ministry experiences for them, whether it's Bible studies, whether it's service opportunities, whatever it is. We need to just reach out and tell them the church is home. Welcome home. You are welcome home. We miss you. That needs to happen at the micro level. At the macro level, that's where we come in to hopefully offer more and better resources to help parishes to do that. And we're also trying to create initiatives and sort of rethink young adult ministry across the board. The way that we've been talking about young adult ministry for the past year and a half or 2 years now, it's kind of like high schoolers have Goya, young adults are going to have REAL. REAL, I think, technically means representing emerging adult leaders. What we really want is to cultivate a sense of leadership and a sense of ownership amongst young adults, for them to truly own their faith and to live their faith, and not to be passive participants, sitting there like watching some sort of divine play, but to really be active, in their education, to be active in service, to be active in worship, to really have a sense that they are living in Christ, they are developing a personal relationship with Him, a living relationship with a living being, not just sort of an abstract idea of God. So sure. We really want to get real groups and parishes across the Archdiocese. We started last fall an annual thing that we're going to do called Real Weekend, when we're going to invite young adults from across the Archdiocese on a particular weekend in the fall to come together, and at a local level, to come together to serve, to find the needs of their community, to sort of go outside of the walls of the church a little bit if needed, and help where they can, express the love of Christ for their neighbors, and then come together in fellowship, get to know each other, you know, get to develop the relationship that they need, that support group and that support system that they need. And then finally, for it to all culminate Sunday morning at the Divine Liturgy, where they will worship together and which receive the Eucharist together. And God willing, even maybe one of those young adults can get up and talk about the importance of what they did and really announce to the parish that young adults are here and we're ready to answer the call if the church will have us.
Yeah. One of the greatest years ago, gosh, it was a while ago, I served here at the theological school in college as the dean of admissions. And I remember traveling around the nation and people would ask me, what would you do if a young person were educated on a college level concerning their faith? I said, I'd jump up and down. I said, can you imagine having several generations of young people who studied theology next to their future priests and therefore would go into that parish and alive with the faith, alive with Christ? I mean, they could move mountains, couldn't they?
Yeah. And that's why I think the future of the school in particular is so important in terms of the future of youth ministry and young adult ministry.
Absolutely.
You know, we need more people who are theologically educated. We need more people going through Holy Cross. I know my four years at Holy Cross were some of the best and most formative in my entire life. And we can't, I mean, if you think about it even practically, who are the people, for the most part, who are doing youth ministry? The people who are leading camps and the people who are teaching Sunday school and leading young adults, for the most part, right?
Young adults, exactly.
The two sort of fit with each other.
They do.
Who's going to do youth ministry?
Well, let me ask you just a couple more questions because time is going to run out. But what other challenges do you find now as the new director of the youth programs of the Archdiocese?
I think, you know, there's a couple of challenges that are out there. I think one of the more fundamental that needs to be addressed is a certain level of kind of redundancy, I guess, and lack of mutual cooperation. You know, what you very frequently see is you see seminary graduates who go out there and start working on youth ministry or young adult ministry, and they develop some amazing programs, and that good work never really leaves the borders of their parish.
Sure.
There's a lot of hard work and a lot of talented people, and they're doing great work, but it's not really filtering, and it's not really helping people beyond their borders. And then you have people across the country who are doing the same work and equally starting from scratch. So if there's a way we can bring people together and really get people communicating and get people working with each other, you know, you think about it like technology, right? The person who invented the light bulb didn't need to invent the technology that allowed, like, iron ore to be pulled out of the ground and copper to be pulled out of the ground to be made into wires. I mean, the reason we have this amazing technology is because we add little bits to this fount of knowledge that's the foundation upon which we stand. You know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. I think we need to do that into the church, in the church as well. We need to rely on each other and to continue to develop the good work that is being done rather than keep reinventing the wheel.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, I know that you're going to have wonderful years there in our youth office as its director. You have our full support and prayers. Tell us how we can reach out to our listeners. How can they contact you or your office?
We have a bunch of different ways. So we have two basic websites that people can go to. We have youth.goarch.org, which is kind of a hub for some of our youth ministry things. And we have youngadults.goarch.org, which is more young adult based as well. If you want, you can send us an email, y2am@goarch.org. We love hearing from people. We love hearing people's ideas and suggestions. And, you know, it really is about helping people on the ground. I mean, as a department and an office at the Archdiocese, we play a role, but the real ministry, the real hard work happens in the parishes face-to-face, where we kind of see ourselves as supports to facilitate what happens on the ground. And if there's anything that we can do to support you and to help you, please let us know.
All right, everyone, you heard Stephen. It's Steve Cristoforo. He is the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministries, Y2AM. We talked about that. We talked about B2B. We've talked about a lot of things that he's doing. Those of you out there that are interested in youth ministry, this is the man to talk to. So please get in touch with him as soon as possible. Build your churches, assist your clergy, and let's get the youth of America moving for Christ as we should have him all the time. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much for your time, Father. God bless.
You've been listening to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and if you've missed any of this broadcast, you can hear it all again when you go to our website at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Just click on the Listen button and then select Come Receive the Light. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. He's the Executive Director of the Orthodox Christian Network and our founder. He is also the President of Hellenic College, Holy Cross School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. The college and seminary are the only schools of their kind in the Western Hemisphere. If you're thinking about college, or your children are, make sure they take a look at Hellenic College, which offers fully accredited degrees in an Orthodox Christian environment. If you're seeking to study for the priesthood, frankly, there is no better place in the world to do so. Visit the website for Hellenic College, Holy Cross, at hchc.edu. Join us next week at this same time for another edition of Come Receive the Light, and remember to always have faith in what you listen to.